Blog Talk Radio.
Give 10 seconds for a moment of silence. We will be discussing Bobby the Brain Heenan as it relates. He did pass away on Sunday, I believe. I thought at first that, it wasn't true until I saw other people posting, but we will discuss that later, ladies and gentlemen, to keep ahead of the show. Today marks the very first year that I joined Wrestle Radio. We're not here to make this show about me entirely, but let me tell you, of all the guests that we've acquired here on Wrestle Radio, we are going to acquire more. And it's not just about the guests, but I got to tell you about the experience of actually being on here before I am going to talk about the Brain, don't worry. Yes, I will discuss Bobby the Brain Heenan on Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition, because if I discuss him now, I'm fitting to get emotional here on the air. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, please bear with me. Last night on Monday Night Raw, I believe there's a six-pack challenge to determine who would become the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. What also happened, there was an interview between Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. Michael Cole conducted the interview away from the locker room, ironically enough. Now, Nia Jax faced off with Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss ended up losing against Nia Jax. But that's not all, folks. There's now a fatal five-way match at No Mercy featuring, of all people, Bayley, who I don't really, mind being in this match, so I'll just tell it like it is. Monday Night Raw took a step backwards, but also took a step forward. What do I mean by took a step backwards? Not all the time can you have high energy shows. I mean, it was definitely full of energy, definitely full of intrigue, because it got us to all talk about it. So, overall, okay, Enzo Amore got his ass beat by Braun Strowman on the ramp. Then there's the power slam after the power slam. Then Neville, picked the bones. He did the red arrow off the top rope, makes it look like a human corkscrew. Hell yes. Goldust versus Bray Wyatt. I'm not going in order, ladies and gentlemen, because I figure I can recap the show by memory. A friend of mine and I watched the show last night. Finally had a day off. You did. Anyways, as I was saying, Monday Night Raw, they keep showing previews for Asuka coming in or coming on to Monday Night Raw. Now that I lumped it all together, I just want to inform you all. Monday Night Raw, comparatively speaking, the last week when they had John Cena and Roman Reigns going at it, now they let Roman Reigns finally just lambast Cena. And what does this have anything to do with a recap? It's probably one of the best highlights of the night. And I can tell you from experience watching Monday Night Raw this entire year, there's been ups and downs, there's been turnarounds, there's been ups and downs again. I probably have to say the downs of Monday Night Raw was the tornado tag match between Sheamus, Cesaro, The Club, Gallows and Anderson, versus Ambrose and Rollins. I'm also going to mention this in Off the Rails Wrestle Radio edition, because I figure, you know what, most people love the idea of the Shield reunion. You can't push it off anymore because people were begging for it. So what do? You let them bite the bone, because we're a bunch of dogs, right? We're a bunch of dogs who just look at the bowl and stupidly look into the owner's eyes saying, yeah, master, please put us on the leash so we're not aware of what's going on. And when we're ready to get fed, feed us. Well, they fed us. They fed us, all right? And so far, the stuff they're feeding us is there's a story between Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor. There's a story between Jason Jordan and The Miz. Who would ever thought, you know, Jason Jordan would be fine by himself? Now, a lot of people like to criticize how well he's doing ever since he split up from Chad Gable. Speaking of which, Gable seems to be doing just fine by himself. No, Gable was more alone and unaware without Jason Jordan, so they found him the next best thing. Shelton Benjamin, former tag team partner and former tag team champion alongside Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin. So how in the world, okay, so I'm getting back to the Raw recap right here. Braun Strowman, monster handle, and Corey Graves' words, monster handle. Who gets up from a German suplex? Who basically monster handles the beast incarnate? I could not tell you. But I'm impressed with the fact that they're making Braun Strowman out to be the new monster. However, I would have loved to have seen Samoa Joe, but now we can't. We can't necessarily blame John Cena for the absence of Samoa Joe. However, it's funny that whenever he's in a match with superstars that are wrestlers that can work, like Seth Rollins, or that's one example because he got injured himself. He didn't turn the proper way for a kick. Trust me, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack because I'm not a wrestler for telling people how to take moves and where to move. But I know, you know, common sense, if you see a knee flying at your fucking face, you move. The point is, I would rather have seen Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar because we know they're going to protect Brock Lesnar at No Mercy. We know this because they always go against what the fans want, right? Because at SummerSlam, it should have been Samoa Joe as champion, as the Universal Champion. But he never gets enough pull from the crowd. I mean, I don't understand. And Heel Mark's podcast brought this up. Just to be fair, you know, they reference the fact that Lesnar hardly ever shows up. They don't boo him. They chant for him. Even though they try their damnedest to portray him as the biggest bad guy you've ever seen. Then you see Jinder Mahal on the other end, who is there all the time. They boo him because, well, some people may not like hearing this. They boo Jinder Mahal because they don't know who the fuck he is. They don't understand why a mid-carder became champion. Is it wrong to categorize a wrestler based on their ability? Some may agree with me. A lot of people disagree because on Instagram I'm getting, we know who Jinder was. We liked him in 3MB. Okay, there's nothing wrong with liking him in 3MB. But, so, I got to say this. Monday Night Raw as a whole, they've got talent and they're improving a lot. However, if you look at SmackDown Live, look at who they have. It's, you know, look at who they have. Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Randy Orton. You've got Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin as a tag team, look like freaking unstoppable machines, you know, athletes with the gifts from the gods, you know. So, guys, that was my Raw recap. If you'd like more insight, go message us on Wrestle Radio on Facebook, because as far as I'm concerned, the whole entire Monday Night Raw must have been less captivating if the Cruiserweight match, I believe it was Neville, forget his opponent because it was that bad. I did read the card. I'm not reading the card again. If you fuckers want to patronize me about not remembering anything about Monday Night Raw, I just gave you the entire insight on the show. Watch it like I do. I watch it to report it, not just to report it, but to see where they're going, what direction they're going. Am I part of the creative staff? The answer is no, because obviously I wouldn't be on a podcast. I'd probably get fired if I were discussing what I thought without permission. So anyways, I'm going to dive into a few things. Yes, I said it. I'm going to take a dive. Since a lot of people like using fucking terms on social media, here I use a term that kind of got a laugh out of a few of my family members. All right, folks, the SmackDown Live preview is going to start in about... What, wait? Hold on. What? Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? I'm lucky that nothing got said because roommate and I were discussing SmackDown Live, believe it or not. And what's on tap for tonight? Let me take a look-sees. 1 second, folks. We're going to pause however long it takes for station identification. Enjoy some old school Wrestle Radio tunes. Tonight, SmackDown Live comes to Oakland, California, and it looks like AJ Styles left the open challenge out to Baron Corbin, and so I guess this is the equivalent of the Intercontinental Championship. Not as prestigious, but here's the thing. It looks like New Day and, So, will the Usos reclaim their tag team championships? Who knows? Alright, so, Breezango and Fashion Files. And, last week we saw Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley having issues, so may see them split up. All right. So, looks like there's a lot of stuff going on with Kevin Owens and the McMahons. Last week, he did headbutt the Boss, which may have shocked the world that they actually used a spot where Vince bled. But, you know, if you have an opportunity to kick your boss's ass, and they're actually, they tell you to do so, and there's no way of them being able to harm you in the long run, I say take advantage of it because it's your stage and you're on it. If you want to look like a puss bag, then sure, don't do anything. Make yourself look nice, you know. Anyways, so as I was saying, who knows what's going to happen with Kevin Owens tonight? Who knows what's going to happen with Baron Corbin and AJ Styles? As far as the women go, I like Carmella's mysterious ways of holding the briefcase and not cashing it in, but you never know. That's the beauty part about SmackDown Live. You never know what's going to happen. Titles could change hands. What we hope does not happen ends up happening. That's just how the world or the cookie crumbles. So, and also, comparatively speaking, since I compared SmackDown a little bit when I was reviewing Raw, I'm going to compare Raw and SmackDown. The women's division is obviously stronger on Monday Night Raw. To answer your question, Bub, I do believe the reason why Asuka wanted to, she's going to tear through anybody anyways. I mean, she did so on NXT. I don't see her slouching when she comes back. Okay? That woman almost, she held the title for a full year, a full-on year. Before she had, you know, just relinquished the women's championship, now it looks like it's going to go to, you know, Ruby Riott would be a good choice, Nikki Cross. I guess it depends on who you put the title on. It's not up to us. It's up to whomever, right? So is there anything new that I'd like to discuss with you all other than Raw and SmackDown Live about my guest last week? I had a fun time last week with Darby Allin. He was a great dude. Very chill, very awesome. I am going to go to his website and check out some of his artwork. I wish I was in Missouri at that time to go meet some legend like Road Warrior Animal, although I do see him practically every year that I'm at WrestleCon. That's not the point. The point is it was for charity. Anyways, Gil Rogers, a guest that I had on last week. Again, you know, nice gentleman, very humble. Very hungry, it seems like, too, because he believed was in the running to tell me that he hasn't had a winning streak. He does not feel that he's in position to be the NWL champion or be near the NWL championship until he starts piecing together victories. That's, to me, a very, very humble, very honest guest. Now, have the guests varied with personality traits? Nah. Actually, that's a lie. They have. I had we've had Dusty Gold, we've had Ronnie Nicole, and I guess this segues into my reflecting. I'm not going to make an uber long off the rails because originally, the show was called Tracks of Life. I like that title, but I also, you know, you have to change with the times, but I'm going to keep the show name because now, officially, folks, I do own the rights to Off the Rails and Off the Rails Uncensored. So anybody trying to steal what I'm doing, that's fine. You know, imitation is the cheapest form of fucking flattery. Anyways, as I was saying, I've had the privilege of having Danny Cage, the owner, the head coach, basically the proprietor, and the head honcho in charge, the man with a plan, not Brian Kendrick, and then a Danny Cage. I got to say, the most interesting guest that we've had. Now, people are going to shame me for saying, oh, you know, this guest was just very interesting. Buku Dao. Dude, I have got to get you on our show sometime, either next week or the week after, whenever you have time. Okay, because this dude was freaking fracking amazing. And granted, yes, we did have Travis Foot Gordon on our show. We've also had the pleasure of having Danny Moe, Ronnie Nicole, a.k.a. Big Bang Ronnie. By the way, she owns 3 businesses, and she's been to Japan several times, and she looks very similar to Awesome Kong. Not only that, guys, she was very insightful about the business, just like most of our guests are. All I can tell you is, over the last year that I've been here on Wrestle Radio, again, I did warn you ahead of time that this was the anniversary of yours truly on Wrestle Radio. So I didn't quite go into detail within the first few minutes because I didn't want to do that too much. Okay, so here's the truth. When I was going to my very first SummerSlam in 2015, I've been going for the last 3 years. Actually, I think it was 2016. I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at my Facebook pictures, but I remember before I moved to Brooklyn, after I moved from Deptford, here's the thing. I was at a place where I was so angry at the world, and I was so upset, and I just needed a place to release all that anger, all that out, you know, right away. So my thing was, I was depressed to the point where I wasn't feeling like, you know, life was worth living. So it was an attempt to be, you know, not here anymore. Yeah, because the hosts with the most basically saved my life. When I tried to reach out to other people, they'd tell me, you need therapy, you're just doing this for a cry for attention, so fuck it. You know, most of the time I'm on here, it's because wrestling is my therapy, wrestling is my escape from what I have to deal with in the real world. Wrestling right now, okay, I haven't managed in almost 2 years, but I'm happier. I'm happy in the place that I'm at right now because after, you know, seeing some side of the business, not all of it, I've now made it a mission to not say anything, but if I do, it's going to be where I'm going. So what I'm saying to you all is, I'm not going to vocalize every emotion on Facebook, because obviously that's the only true way I can get people's attention sometimes. And sometimes, if you really think about alienating yourself from the world, it becomes to be like one of those things where you just sit and tell yourself, okay, maybe it's not so bad if I let people in just a little bit. And Wrestle Radio has definitely been that outlet for me to express how I feel, to get to know other wrestlers in the community, get to know what they're about and what they think of and how they perceive the business. And it's literally the same language, just told from a different point of view. Some people are explosive personalities, some people are jackasses, some people are douche canoes, some people are assholes. Does name-calling help situation describe somebody? No, but I've come across a few condescending jackasses in this business. Trust me. After I quit KCXW, I had it out with them. I still probably do. Do I give a rat's ass? No. Because here's my thing. If you know where your path is in wrestling, and you basically make it out okay. Like, some people say, well, you just resorted to a podcast to vent out your frustration. Because, let me explain that to answer your question. or to answer your response to me, what I can tell you is this. I am justified in saying how I feel, and I justify in moving on. Yeah, because it's been almost 2 years. But the thing is, when I started moving on this podcast, it wasn't really perceived from their perception as being, you know, them being happy because they didn't get the last word in. Some people are like that, you know. Some people like to, how do I put this? Rain on people's parades. They like to say, well, you did this too, and point the finger and then make me feel stupid. All I'm going to tell you is, ever since I've been on Wrestle Radio, I've met some interesting people. I've gone more places. I've traveled. I've done some drives, and I'm doing more than I ever could expect, and I'm going to keep doing more for Wrestle Radio. Because why? When something gives something to you, you give it back. You give back to what was given to you. In other words, when someone gave you the opportunity to speak your mind, instead of hide behind walls feeling depressed because you couldn't get out your thoughts in one organization, and I felt like fucking walls were closing in on me, and without a shadow of a doubt, man, this happens in my life all the time. Just when I think things are going south, someone or something manages to pick my ass up, and I stand up on my two feet, and I punch depression right in the fucking mouth. Wrestle Radio helped me punch depression right in the fucking mouth, because I remember arguing, you know, over something small. And I also remember just going to, you know, the guest room or whatever, and just, you know, fuming mad. That's how I am, because I'm bipolar, and not only that, I have a temper. But who the fuck doesn't nowadays? Because I've seen it. I work in fucking retail, okay? It's not easy. It wasn't easy for me, you know, just being on a show and just relaying my opinion, okay? Because I was so used to being on another show that I had relied on heavily for my release and whatever, because it became addictive. I wanted to be on a wrestling show. I wanted to be a success. Who doesn't want to be a success in the business? You are lying to yourself if you don't want to be a success. And Wrestle Radio, the hell, man, when you have time and investments and you put money into this project like I have, paying $39 a month is not a big deal. If you love what you do, you make sacrifices for it. If you like traveling with friends who are actually in this business, then, you know, makes it worth your while, makes the car ride a lot easier. Wrestle Radio allowed me to venture out, you know, not just to WWE events, but to Clive, Iowa, and to see the Wrestling Revolver, see guys like Sami Callihan, to see guys like Ethan Page, Darby Allin, see, you know, guys like Palmer, so on and so forth. So there are different worlds in professional wrestling that I got exposed to. My very first Evolve show I saw in San Antonio. WrestleCon I'd normally gone to a few times, but I never really saw any of the shows because I was, you know, watching through closed doors, watching through a narrowed vision, a tunnel vision, meaning only watching WWE's product and sometimes ECW and sometimes CZW. Before I met Jake, not, you know, when he, that's his favorite. That's his favorite organization aside from IWGP and all the other indie organizations he follows after. But, so in other words, Wrestle Radio helped me as a person gain exposure to certain organizations like Ring of Honor, House of Hardcore, House of Glory. Now, do I mind? Would I mind? I don't, honestly. Would I mind what? Would I mind reporting on the Mae Young Classic? I just did that last week, but I'll do it again. The Mae Young Classic, overall, ladies and gents, I do want to say it was amazing. I was impressed with Piper Niven. I was impressed with Toni Storm's match, her matches. I think her and Lacey Evans would make a great rivalry. There was just plenty of good things to say about Mercedes Martinez. Shayna Baszler was not a fan of, you know, until she gave the hug to Kairi Sane. It was an amazing match. I really enjoyed it. Let's see what else. And that's all that I'm going to do for the Mae Young Classic review. If you want to catch that, you can catch it on one of our episodes on Wrestle Radio. You can go to each episode on blogtalkradio.com, search under Wrestle Radio. We are the picture with the WCW Nitro looking like logo. And it basically says Wrestle Radio with a ring on it, you know, on fire. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to take this next half hour to basically discuss with you all about a friend to the wrestling community, not just managers. But ladies and gentlemen, right here, right now, it's time for Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition. Hit my music, monkeys. Okay, so Bobby the Brain Heenan died at 73 years old, 72, 73, and he started out his career in professional wrestling as a wrestler. Most people do not know this, but a lot of former managers like Mr. Fuji, Captain Lou Albano, Classy Freddie Blassie, they all used to wrestle inside that very ring. Now, what did Bobby Heenan mean to me as a child when I watched him? Bobby Heenan was the dude who, if no matter what he was doing, whether he was in WWE at the time or WCW, I enjoyed listening to him. He was funny. Yeah, especially, you know, during the WrestleManias or the Saturday night main event with Gorilla Monsoon and Sir Alfred Hayes, you know, and just so many memories, so many good memories of Bobby Heenan. They referred to him as Weasel, and he had a gimmick match with the Ultimate Warrior, not just him. But if he lost the match, then he's, you know, he was going to put that weasel suit on. And to me, as a child, as a kid, you know, I was probably not around for that. But I do remember that Bobby Heenan was so funny that just not just by words, but just by his actions and what, you know, how he delivered, how he presented himself. He even put, you know, there's a quote in my hand that says, if I managed to make them boo me, make them cheer me, laugh at me, I was completely satisfied these were great people. In other words, he gave himself to the fans. It wasn't, you know, people say it's too soon. It wasn't too soon. He was suffering and smoked for years. And some say, what does that have to do anything when you're not very health conscious? You're living off an oxygen tank to keep you alive. I mean, I think it's sad because he lost so much weight. He was deteriorating and all that. Bobby, when I met him, it was probably when I was little, but I remember him telling me, he said, I don't know about this humanoid. Well, he looks kind of suspicious to me. I have to find the picture that I had with Bobby Heenan when I was 6 years old, because he was one of the guys that when I was a kid, I got picked on a lot. And when I'd come home and watch replays of old WWF stuff, his voice would make me smile because he always had something to say about the babyface, including Big Boss Man, including anybody, Hogan, including Piper, Savage. Him and Savage got into it a couple times. So word to the wise, if you're going to go into the world of pro wrestling and you want to be a manager, don't use the words, do not say, I'm going to be a great heel. You don't know that until you've actually experienced what it's like to manage an actual match where the crowd either pulls for you or they don't. So Bobby Heenan, his timing was always on, you know, especially when he used to manage Rick Rude, time where he held Ultimate Warrior's feet. He held them down, you know, 1, 2, 3, Intercontinental Championship. That was one cool memory. And most people who liked Ultimate Warrior, I'm sorry. Bobby Heenan, he didn't hold anything back when he was discussing professional wrestlers. He'd either tell the truth about you or, you know, he'd say, okay, he's a great worker, he's just an asshole. Now, towards the end of his WWE career, Bobby did not want, he just felt like he wanted to be close to family. So imagine being on the road several times out of the year. Imagine living a lifestyle where you barely see your children. Bobby was and will always be an example of how to know when it's time for you to move forward. And also, he was a prime example of how to be a great, not just a great manager, but just a great person in general. Very loving, very caring, very, I guess if you say if he was still around, he could still be giving out advice and the value would still be there. Because no matter what time period this is, the ideal goal is as a manager is to entertain the crowd, whether you're a baby face or a heel. And Bobby Heenan, boy, he transitioned him from what he was doing in WWE as a heel to basically being a babyface commentator. Because his style of managing, I guess, was out of date for WCW. But he still loved the business, no matter what, and he gave Goldberg a platform. I mean, for Christ's sakes, I mean, Goldberg said it himself on social media, I don't know where my career would be without Bobby Heenan. The man basically gave Goldberg free full range. He said, that is the man. He's 94-0. That, I don't know if there's anybody that can stop Bill Goldberg. Stuff like that, just right there. Instead of making it all about himself, like some managers do, Bobby Heenan decided okay, you know, this is what I'm told to do, then I will do it. And he's was a very, very smart man. That's why they called him Bobby the Brain. That's an appropriate nickname for someone who literally helped revolutionize the art of managing. I think, you know, one of my all-time favorite sayings that he ever had was, well, actually, Jim Cornette, and a lot of managers say this when they're around Bobby. I'm only the greatest manager only because you're not managing. And I kind of chuckle to myself because it's true. He's not going to ever be replaced, and that's one of the closest ones we have to Bobby the Brain. I don't think there ever will be another Bobby the Brain. Paul Heyman gets compared to Bobby Heenan because he's lasted so long. I think what you got to understand is Paul and Bobby, they're two different people. They're similar in, as far as being able to get a reaction out of the crowd and stuff. But in my personal experience of watching managers over the years, you've got the Sylvester Foxes. You've got JT Davidson. You've got Prince Nana from Ring of Honor. You've got Maria Kanellis of LA. There's different variety of valets and managers. But Bobby Heenan, by far, out of those names that I just listed, I'm sorry if I missed any of the independent wrestling ring managers around, but I will say this, there are those managers who just, they cannot compare. So Bobby Heenan set the standard back in the 80s. He set the standard, you know, before he got to WWF. And by far, in my opinion, there's not another person that can come close to what he did. Now, there'd be managers that be getting attention all around the circuits, all around the indie circuits, but you know, just comparing and contrasting notes of all the factions of indies that I've been through, some managers, okay, I forgot one. Travis Cook. Now, what is the object of, you know, being a performer in this business? What is the number one goal that gets you going to shows? You know, what is the number one goal? It's to entertain the crowd and to make sure that they leave with thoughts of you in their head. Or what you did, or how you helped your wrestler make an impact or splash in the business. Otherwise, if you're just doing this for yourself, then my advice to you is, that's fine. Do whatever makes you happy. But when you get further into the business, you'll realize, okay, if I'm going to be well-liked by my peers, is that important to you? Or is making a name for yourself important? It's kind of a double-edged sword. So choose wisely, Kendra. Did I say that right? Okay. So there's two A's. I've never seen Kendra spelled that way. Okay. If you'd like to email questions, you can do so at wrestle_radio. That's wrestle_radio at Instagram. For those of you inquiring questions towards B-Train, that'd be myself. It'd be B-Train05000 at Instagram. So, if you have the desire to do what Bobby Heenan did, if you have the desire to basically put yourself in a lot of precarious positions where you have to call out from work. You have to do different stuff, sacrifice, and make yourselves worthwhile. In wrestling, that is. And that's up to you. If a job is more important than wrestling, then, you know, it's up to you. You gotta pay the bills. I get it. And you gotta make yourself feel better. If wrestling is just a side hobby to you, then fuck you. I have no respect for guys who just do this as a side hobby. I'm sorry. Because it makes it really, really less exciting to see a guy who doesn't quite know what he's doing, yet he has hold of a second job. Do you think that that's going to entice me to tell you, why, sure, you can, you know, if you have a side hobby that's pro wrestling and you just tell your friends about it, then it's just something that you want to do because you're one of those people that are bored, right? Well, then go join a club. Don't join the fucking indie scene. That's kind of disrespectful, my friend. If you're joining the independent wrestling scene and you're doing this just to say, hey, I'm a pro wrestler and you don't look like one, you don't dress, you know, I don't know how they dress, but you don't lift weights, you don't go to the gym, you don't make effort, how the hell do you, you know, explain yourself to getting better? And speaking of which, I didn't do the advertisement section, but I guess I'll do the advertisements. Ladies and gentlemen, Wrestle Radio is brought to you by, I can't do that because that's not legal. Quit doing that, making me sing the wrong advertisement. You can check out monsterfactory.org if you want to hone your craft. Please contact Danny Cage for more information. His number is on the website. His number is on Facebook. It is on Instagram, and it is on the Monster Factory Twitter. Go to monsterfactory.org. Also, speaking of which, Monster Factory is holding a camp October 13th and October 14th in Paulsboro, New Jersey, at the world-famous Monster Factory. Want to learn more about becoming a pro wrestler? It's more than just dreams come true. You get your foot in the fucking door, and you also get an opportunity to wrestle. Please be sure to follow the instructions on the website about the camp. It should have a link to eventbrite.com. If not, contact Danny Cage for more information. His phone number shall be listed on the website at monsterfactory.org. It's on the car, the picture on the website. It's also a number, a side number for you to call. Please do call in regular business hours or any time of the day. Just make sure that you are dedicated. Also, for those of you interested in becoming a wrestler in the Midwest, you can do so at the only school in Kansas City, and that is National Wrestling League's TPC, Training Performance Center, is located in North Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, contact the website administrator himself. He'll be glad to answer your phone calls as well. They're located in North Kansas City, Missouri. Make your dreams of becoming a professional wrestler come true. Not just don't dream about it. Actually make it happen. Payment plans will be assessed. Tryout. Depending on your tryout, you will be placed as a manager, wrestler, or referee. That all depends on what you are good at. Okay, folks, moving forward. What bothers me is, you know, it's bound to happen despite, you know, the love and the affection and the hurt that we're all feeling about what Bobby Heenan, or Bobby the Brain Heenan's death meant. There, let me rephrase this all. Despite the sadness about Bobby Heenan's death, there's always room for bitching and griping on this show, you know, because it's me. Okay, so I've covered hating, condescending jackasses. Now, I might sound like one on a couple more than occasion, but I'm not ashamed to admit that I am. Is that a bad conversation starter? You bet your ass it is.
I'm going to go back and just reflect upon what I've done since I've been on Wrestle Radio. Now, there's been some complaining. There's been some happy moments. There's been a lot of traveling. There's been some ups and downs. There's been some arguments, but who doesn't argue, you know? Jake and I, we're like brothers. We argue. We all have our arguments over what's happening. A lot of us, all of us have been through hard times in our lives. As far as the wrestling business is concerned, it's amazing how Dart was right on the dot. The egos in this business, there's a lot of egos. Is it, am I holier than thou for saying, oh, you know, this so-and-so has this ego and he needs to work on this and he needs to work. I ain't all for that shit because what I believe is, I'm going to speak to you all about egos in the wrestling business. Now, depending on what you've accomplished, that all depends on what you all determine to be a success in your career. It could be, I've been around this business for 20 plus years. I've held various titles, blah, 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 blah. You all should worship the ground that I walk on. That's how some guys, and some guys, I trained here for a month, and I really shouldn't, you know, I'm not in a position to train anybody, but I'm going to train at, you know, so-and-so's wrestling school. Here's the funny part. To people who believe that they are actually somebody in this business, more power to you. I guess, you know, everybody to each their own. To people who like tearing others down because it makes them feel better in this business, all I gotta say is we all have our paths in life, and eventually you guys, somebody to wait on somebody to get hurt, that's kind of not narcissistic, but kind of sadistic in a way. Egos in the wrestling business can consist of guys, girls, referees even, who believe, you know, that their shit doesn't stink, and that's why the company they get hired on for is the company that they're going to stick with. Now, what about good old B-Train? Why am I ragging on people for having confidence? If you want to call it an overinflated ego confidence, then sure, I'm razzing on you. Because it irritated me. It still does. Speaking, and this ties into this. When you ask somebody to be on a show, they have no obligation to you. They have no obligation, you know, no desire to be on your show, yet you ask anyway. So I opened Pandora's box. So I asked, you know, 2-3 people at a time saying, hey, would you mind being a guest on our show? Somebody took offense to the fact that I didn't know about his career, when in fact it gets blasted and plastered all over my fucking newsfeed. So to that person, you're a condescending jackass. I'm not going to name names, but when someone asks why and give the thumbs up because I couldn't give you the answer in 5 seconds, gee, dude, here's the thing you should know. Your tag team is a ripoff of the Hype Brothers. You, when asked a question, you automatically assume you know what someone wants. And, you know, here's the thing. When guys say that their moves are the best, okay, I'll take a look in the ring and see what you've done. And then I'll go back outside and be like, okay, well, these guys are blessed enough to be in the ring. It just wasn't my thing. My forte, when you tell them that, it's like slapping them in the face and telling them you have a small cock. I'm just saying, because it's kind of fucking funny that when I message somebody on Facebook, I expect, like, rejection and a maybe or when can we do this? That's the best response. Just be fucking upfront with people. Instead of having fucking egos in this business, Dart Allen was fucking he nailed it right on the end. It saved that in my archives.
the archives of my brainwave, my memory bank, I should say. So maybe I should talk about egos in wrestling. Now, a lot of people believe that John Cena, Hogan, and them, yeah, the differences between them and indie wrestlers is blank, fill in the blank. Indie wrestlers also have egos too. And that's another section that bothers me. The fans that hop on social media and then put in comment sections what they believe in is that WWE has bolstered up egos. They're never going to improve their young section of wrestling, NXT, yada, yada, yada. Just a whole bunch of negativity. And here's the thing. For those who believe that WWE is the only wrestling out there, that's fine. See how everybody has opinions about everything now. The only problem is social media. Social media is not a problem if you know how to work it, operate it, promote, and go about your business. When it comes to fans, you know, who believe that WWE is over-exaggerated, it won't ever improve its product, then why fucking write about it? Why fucking blog about it? Because you guys just have nothing fucking better to do than feed your egos. Same thing with podcasting. It's centered around the same mainframe fuckers. Bullet Club this, Bullet Club that. There are other fucking wrestlers around the world, not just Kenny Omega, not Okada. Look at the Young Bucks. But no, everyone centers them around because why? They know how to freaking work. So, here's the thing, guys. It bothers me. Not only dealing with workers who believe that they're going to be the next best thing. It's not just that. It's workers who believe that if they take formal criticism, they got to automatically jump up in your face and tell you, the fuck do you know about being in the ring? I will tell you, after 9 years of being in this business, I'm still learning everything that I can. Because if you think that you know everything about wrestling, you, sir, you, miss, and you, Mr. Referees, managers, ring announcers, whatever, are sadly fucking mistaken. So here's the thing, folks. I started in 2008. A lot of people started way before me. And then way before, there's people that are outranking me in these, you know, questions. So where do I come off giving out advice? It's because people are being around on my social media and also the things that I see, some of their matches. Let me tell you guys. You could get better cameras, you could get better software to make your matches look, you know, better. I know we're living in hard times, but you say you're broke. What do you spend your money on? Not that it's any of my business, but you're saying, well, if I had better fucking equipment, you want to cuss at me, I'm going to curse right back at you. The fun part, guys. Whenever you watch somebody's match and on their social media, the camera's not all that great. It's filmed from a phone. There's no editing in it. There's software. There's apps. There's plenty of stuff. Up your eBay game. Get you a camera. I'm going to get a different microphone because this on the phone shit's not cutting it. Thing is, guys, actions speak louder than words. There are certain people business because they took the necessary abundance of learning that 4 or 5 in the morning, jogging, running, making themselves look better because it's their job, It is their job to owe us, you know, it is our job to give you guys a good show. The podcaster's job to be like the news anchors and the newscast of wrestling now. Podcasts are popping out of the woodwork back in 2014, 2015. Now everybody's got one, right? So if you really want to slam me for basically saying to the guys and gals who think they know everything, they must have struck a chord or struck a nerve. But I can't think of a time where I've gotten a solid reaction out of just one person for the last, like, three umpteen fucking paragraphs. Okay, after that one, you're blocked. I'm sorry. My podcast, or on the podcast right now, Wrestle Radio, we here would like to take time, take a step back, and tell the world that we want to fight pediatric cancer. You can do so by visiting WWE. I believe you're right. You can do so at WWE.com. There are some auctions for different superstars items, so all donations go to a good cause. Wear the t-shirts. Meet the awesome kids involved in their advertisement for Cure for Connor. It's an amazing movement, guys. Hope you take advantage of it. Okay, so now back to the message at hand. If you ever believe that you are better than somebody, prove it in the ring. Don't say it on fucking social media. Like on a status or, you know, I cannot stand or validate, you know, people in my eyes that say they're better than someone and you look at their work in ring and it is complete shit. Now, do those people see it like that? No, because speaking from experience, if you tell them that it looks like shit, they're going to just, well, you never fucking wrestle, you're a fucking liar, yada, yada, yada. Guys, I didn't sacrifice, really. So in 2008, that's why I went to go find Jim Cornette and be a crazy loon. And try and find a wrestling school because Kansas City doesn't have one. I'm pretty sure that if I would have known that Monster Factory was around, I probably would have taken that road. Because you look at a trainer and what he does with his students daily. You see Danny Cage on the fucking daily making kids laugh, making them question. Not question his, you know, methods, but basically making question, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Because in wrestling, you learn it's a mad science experiment. I've said that a million times. Until you have actually gone and traveled, been on the road, had some funny road stories to tell, I fair warn you, don't fall asleep. Because shit will happen. Bad shit. Point is, back, you know, I'm getting off track. When you go through professional wrestling, trust when I tell you, you should find the trainer that makes sense. The trainer that is a credible name. The trainer that basically tells you or pushes you to your absolute limit. The trainer that actually participates in practice and makes sure that he is coaching to his best ability and not leaving somebody out in the dust. I mean, it also depends upon the worker, too. Is the worker putting forth the effort into going to these seminars or going to practice every day and being loyal and paying the money? And even if you're taking it out of your check, even if you don't have any money, you're taking out a loan, to pay for this wrestling school. If Wrestle Radio's taught me anything, this is why I get up in the morning. This is why every single day when I go through my social media outlets, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, what am I doing to improve the product? What am I doing to help it along? So far, I'm slouching, to be honest, ladies and gents. I am slouching big time because I know I have 210 likes, but I want to double that number to 220. Or I want to multiply that number times 200. I know I can get more, so I'm going to strive for more. Does it take time? Does it take effort? Yeah, it takes a lot. So that's what you're asking. I believe that whenever you start something in wrestling, you should finish it. The only reason why I didn't finish what I started is because, let me think on this one, shall we? When you are the Enzo Amore of said organization, now, I don't not tip strippers, okay? And also, I am not, how do I put this, as promiscuous as Enzo. Although I do like the fact that they are keep selling the merchandise from Enzo and Cass. Point is, when you're public enemy number one, it makes it a lot harder for you to get out of the doldrums and get out of the shadow of what you used to be. It's all up to you, though. That's what someone told me. A wise man once told me, it is all up to you. It's all about your perception and of what the situation is, how you can make it right, and how you can stop getting heat with said organization, even if you hate them. Uncle Bob, I love you to death, man. Speaking of advice givers, I always reference Uncle Bob, Brutal Bob Evans, because he makes you think. If you truly want to get over the shit that you're not getting over, find something, find announcing, find journalism, study The Quotationary. The Quotationary is a book, ladies and gentlemen. It's about as thick as a Webster's Dictionary, a little less. Has some more than just inspirational quotes. And what does this have anything to do with being in pro wrestling? Or how do you improve yourself in pro wrestling? Quotationary is a book where you can pick up anything you're thinking of. Find what you're looking for. Find the quote. Use it in a promo. Use it online. Do whatever you want to do with it. But the Quotationary is something that if you need help, that book is like a very quick reference guide. And it's only $5 on Amazon. It may be even cheaper. But I remember getting that book and I showed Uncle Bob what I got. He really inspired me. Made me feel like I was worthwhile. If you have a trainer or if you have somebody that makes you feel like you're worth their time, that's somebody you should hold on to or keep in contact with. So keeping context is key. Dealing with people that are jackasses is key because you don't know if they're the promoter or the promoter's son or any relation to the promoter. Not just that, but dealing with jackasses, dealing with egos in wrestling is not any different than dealing with that at the workplace or, you know, wherever you may deal with situation outside the workplace. So here it is. If you know somebody doesn't like you, know a group doesn't like you, do not do what I did and stick it out in a toxic environment in which you're not happy anymore. So just leave. And if you can't trust anybody, if you can trust somebody in this business, more power to you, man. I'm all for that. But like I said, it's not worth the pain and anguish
which I had to experience because I was dumb enough to keep going to a place where there's only maybe a few people that actually liked me being there. And I was worried about myself instead of, okay, what can I do to improve the situation instead of make it worse? See, I'm always thinking, what would have happened if I would have stayed? And what would have happened if I would have never gone to Wrestle Radio? Probably would have been in the deeper depression, probably would be out of money. That happens though when you're in wrestling. Go ahead and make or break your bank account. Some guys just insist because this is what they wanted. So they, you know, there's some guys that are very hard-headed like myself that believe that wrestling was the only form of escape. And to be honest with you, I like traveling. I like getting out. I enjoy visiting my family members in Kansas City because here's what I know. Wrestling involves a lot of sacrifice. I have been through probably 3 or 4 jobs just going to keep up with wrestling schedule because I liked being able to see other people, conversate with them, say, what's up, hey, what's going on, what are we doing today, what are we working on, how are we going to do it? And then, you know, certain things happen the way they happened. And some people say you can't look back in the past because if you keep looking back at your past, you're never going to move forward. Yes and no. I look at my past and say, okay, wow, I was really gung-ho. I was really naive, didn't know shit, you know, because I had been hoping after staying away from wrestling for 3 years that it would improve. It fucking didn't. For some people, it gets better. For some people, it gets worse. In my case, it's at a happy medium. Okay, folks, after being here in a year at Wrestle Radio, as I said, I've had arguments, but it wasn't anything too bad. It was just fun, you know, fun and games. I've been through people telling me they were going to threaten me with lawsuits and this, that, the other. Here's the fun part about that. The company that stated that they are going to have lawsuits with me is full of shit. Much like, you know, the people that tell me why did I choose you, Joe Schmo, to be on my show? I'll tell you, after dealing with the transition from management to running my mouth here on a podcast, I think I'm doing quite well for myself. Because I've been able to travel. I've been able to do things I want to do. I'm not feeling like I'm restricted, like I'm in a plexiglass box, okay, where I've been forced to, you do this. This is a 7-minute promo. Newsflash, it's called wrestling. I know that when they tell me or assign me a promo that I'm supposed to do it, I'm just telling you how I feel. Give me a minute here. All right, folks. So, here's the skinny. Whenever you look at someone's career in wrestling, there's always two sides of the story. Much like some people look at me and say, I don't know who the hell this B-Train is, but I know there was an A-Train. Or they'll say, I don't know who this guy thinks he is,
because we gave him the opportunity to make his dreams come true. Or other people say, I met this nice young gentleman at my seminar. He was very, questions. He liked to talk a lot. I get a lot of opinions about me anyways, dude. You're not really phasing me. There's a difference between being condescending, and there's a difference between placing all the facts together, and there's also a difference between being a jackass who just likes to hear his own voice and a jackass who just speaks his mind. I happen to be the second option of those two. So anyways, enough comparing and contrasting them. Trying to get through this lovely New York kind of semi-overcast. I don't know what it's doing today. Anyways. There's a good chance that when you look at my track record, I've always had one thing that remains consistent. I like to vent. I like to rant. It's what this section of the show is for. But if you want to rant with me, you can do so by calling in the number that you see on your screens. Just know this. I'm open to any discussion. I'm open to any sort of ranting that you'd like to get off your chest, because on occasion fans will call in and they'll discuss with me what they think, and that's fine. And also, I get different insights from wrestlers, but it all, like I said, it revolves around the same language. We're all in this business to make ourselves better, to make each other better. We can't all live in perfect harmony, because in order to really have, or in order to have balance, you got to be able and apt to work with the ones who don't quite get it. So, folks, I know there's a lot of you asking, what in the hell are you babbling about? And holy shit, I've managed to babble, I've only got 10 minutes left. So hang on 1 second, and D-Train will be right back with you. Allergies. Anyways, as I was saying, bother me is the egos in this business. There's some guys that I dealt with, they're cool, they didn't do anything to me, but it's the way that their auras, their vibes come off around me. If you're going to be a jackass, okay, you'll be known as that in the locker room too, and people catch on to that shit. Okay. And, trusting others in the business. That all depends on, just keep your enemies close and your friends closer. Because you never know who's going to stab you in the back, that kind of thing. Nothing to take away from that. Okay, that's on you. To all the fans that listened to me for over a year, thank you guys. You guys are amazing. I'm going to take a breather. All right, ladies and gents? I am going to take a breather because I am flipping fracking tired. But I got to rest for the baseball game. So, I'm going to watch SmackDown Live when I get home, and then I'm going to go to sleep. And then I'm going to wake up and do Off the Rails Uncensored tomorrow, and I will have, hopefully, more rest. See you on the flip side. It was fun. Thank you. You guys are flipping fracking amazing. All right, catch you on the flip side, bitches. Good night, tomorrow, whatever. Good day. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got 3 choice words for you. Forget about it.